Yesterday, after years of struggle, the Michigan legislature passed a bill banning smoking in restaurants, workplaces, and bars throughout the state. That's old news by now to most of us. Yet, there are three important lessons in this that have nothing to do with the smoking ban itself. They are, simply put, these. First of all, the common citizen can make a difference. If enough people care about an issue, confront their legislators, and keep up the pressure, it'll eventually have an effect. The second lesson is the corny old proverb, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And finally, at some point, you've got to be willing to compromise, as long as we aren't talking about dealing with Nazis or child molesters. You can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. If you insist on a solution that's perfect, you'll never get one that is either perfect or good. But you also have to realize that you can't compromise too early. Here's how all those things played out in the smoking ban wars. The hero of the story is a state senator from blue-collar, downriver Detroit named Ray Basham. He's someone you might think would be more likely to be a smoker than the champion of the smoking ban. He was born in the hills of Virginia, served in the U.S. Air Force, and then came up here to work for Ford for 30 years. He got involved in the union and was elected to the legislature a dozen years ago. But he'd seen what tobacco did to the lungs of people he knew, some of whom were the victims of secondhand smoke. He introduced a bill calling for a smoking ban his very first term. The restaurant industry, as he now cheerfully admits, outmaneuvered him easily and used his early willingness to compromise against him. He learned from this. From then on, it was take no prisoners. He pushed for a total smoking ban, period, year after year. Meanwhile, smoking became more and more unpopular, and more people became aware of the perils of secondhand smoke. Other states, notably neighboring Ohio, passed smoking bans. Lobbyists for restaurants and bars had predicted financial doom if smoking bans were passed. But that didn't happen. In some cases, business actually increased. This didn't lessen the opposition to the Michigan Restaurant Association, but it made their claims less credible. Lawmakers began hearing from constituents who insisted on a ban and who wouldn't go away. Senate Majority Leader Mike Bishop was still opposed, but, for once, wasn't going to be able to prevent a vote. Ironically, it was Basham's own Democrats who were the final obstacle, because they feared the loss of casino jobs. That held things up for a year. But then Ron Jelinek, a Republican state senator, proposed a compromise exempting casino gambling floors, tobacco shops, and cigar bars. For Basham, it was a Kenny Rogers moment, meaning you've got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And so the deal got done. Thanks to term limits, Basham leaves the Senate forever in a year. He'll be 65, and his political career is likely over. But he got something big accomplished. By the way, one colleague proposed naming the smoking ban bill after Basham. He declined. He wanted it to be named for a doctor who died last year. Sometimes the system works.